Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it is wonderful to be here tonight. And as usual on Wednesday night, we're going to sing for a while. And then after that, we're going to have a Bible study. But before we do anything, we do need to pray. It's always important to pray before we get started here because we need the Lord's help so very much. We're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, thy mercy, thy kindness towards us. And I pray, O God, that thy Spirit would be here today. We ask, O God, that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. That there be a mighty work of thy Spirit here this night, we ask. And we pray, O God, that thou wouldst abide over this entire service, preside over this entire service, and lead us and guide us and direct us in all things we ask. In the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your chorus book, we're going to start with number 11 tonight. Let's just praise the Lord. Number 11. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and You know, wherever we are, whatever it is we're doing, we can always praise the Lord, and that's a wonderful thing. Can't think of a better thing to do. Why don't we go to number 94 in the chorus book and sing, "Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him."
Praise you, Jesus.
Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Where I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Thought in mind, why don't we go to number 83 and sing "From the Rising of the Sun"? Praise the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the find your Melodies of Praise hymnal. We're going to go to that book now, and we're going to sing number 2. Praise Him, Praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, love with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
Thank
the
you,
Lord. And He does put a song within our hearts, and it's a wonderful thing to be able to sing to the Lord. Why don't we go to number 85 in the hymnal and sing He Keeps Me Singing. Number 85.
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting 'neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Now is take up the collection, and then after that we're going to sing one more song, and then we'll have our Bible study. Praise the Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, praise your name, Lord.
Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy loving kindness towards us, Thy mercy and Thy grace. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast kept us for so many years and provided for our needs. And we pray, O God, that Thou wouldst continue to guide us and direct us in everything we do. We ask, O God, for Thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for the sake of Thy name and for the cause of Thy kingdom. For we know that these funds belong to Thee. And we pray, O God, that Thou wouldst bless the givers here tonight. and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song, number 269 in the hymnal, Springs of Living Water. In the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh, beheld my, my soul they satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, a wonderful and bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God, it makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing on the path I've trod, I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water, walking on by, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, a wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, a wonderful and bountiful supply. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, a wonderful and bountiful supply. Praise the Lord. Started with our Bible study in just a moment. I noticed that the low battery light on the lavalier was on, so I'm just going to change that very quickly. And then we will get started. Praise the Lord. All right, and Shirley is going to come up here and lead us in a Bible study. Praise God.
The Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Well, it's good to see everybody here tonight. May I ask who our friends are here?
I'm Sean. This is my wife, Debbie.
That's really nice to have you, Sean and Debbie. Praise the Lord. You're welcome. And, you know, we can see we're just a few here tonight, but God is here, and we're just thankful that you could join us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Oh, he's so good to us. Praise the Lord. You know,
It is wonderful to know the Lord. It really is. I had a bit of an experience. I guess that was last week. Maybe that was Thursday. And I had decided, I thought I would go to Madison and get a few things that I needed and refresh my water and this and that and go about there and see what all I could accomplish. But I had to stop at the post office first, and after I got done at the post office, I was just really surprised because all at once all these lights came on in my car, like check engine and brakes and cruise was blinking back and forth, and this other thing was wobbly. Thinking, oh my, wow, maybe I'm not going to Madison. But anyway, praise the Lord. I just, okay, God, what do I do now, you know? And I wasn't too far from Gene's auto where I had my gas oil changed from time to time. And so I decided, well, I'll just stop there. Maybe somebody can help me. And they were pretty busy at the moment. But the woman behind the desk said that she'd come out and look. And I said, well, you know, this is so strange. I don't know if I pressed something with my knee or whatever. I did something strange when I got into the car again or whatever all. And she said, well, I'll just look over it for you. And, you know, maybe she would notice something. And she went out and she couldn't see anything. So anyway, she suggested that I maybe go to AutoZone and have them look at it and see what they could say, see what they could figure out, and they could use their tester and perhaps find something that wasn't quite right on my car. So anyway, I did go to AutoZone and things checked out really quite well with his tester, but you know, the fluid was just a little bit low, so you know, decided to put a little in. He said he would help me with that. And so did that, but the lights were still on. I still had, you know, the blinking cruise and, you know, check engine and brakes and the other little thing that indicated something wasn't quite right. And so anyway, I'm just thinking, I don't think there's anything wrong with this car. I just don't think there's anything wrong with it. And, you know, if my brakes weren't working, I sure would know it. If my engine was working, I think I'd know that too, you know. So anyway, I just felt in my spirit that it'd be okay if I went to Madison anyway. But the thing is, all the way to Madison, it was like the Lord put a song in my heart. And he just sang that song. He keeps me singing, and that just actually caused me to remember this incident. And I just sang all the way to Madison, you know, just singing and praising the Lord. And then I went into the co-op and did some shopping there at Willie Street, and I was still singing. It was just like the Lord had put that song in my heart, and it just didn't go away. And, you know, it was so good to give praise to the Lord. And the amazing thing is, although my cruise had not been working, as I was going down 151 and all, it had not been working, and the lights were still blinking. When I got back into the car, all the lights were off. They were all off, and when I tried to use my cruise, it was functioning again. And all I know is the Lord put that song in my heart, and whatever it was with my car, he took care of it. He took care of it. And you know, that's our God who knows all our needs, all our particulars, all our little concerns, all those little things deep down inside that we need his help, his attention, things that we can't do ourselves, things that we can't understand ourselves, the confusion of this world, and all the things that go wrong, and you know, the sicknesses and the illnesses, and you know, things that are often beyond us. But I'm so thankful that we serve a God that loves us with such a love that he came to this world to save us from our sins. He came to this world to save us from our sins. And what a beautiful story it is. There is none like that, because it's Almighty God who put on flesh to come to this world to reach us as individuals, to reach down and take us out of our confusion, out of our sin, out of the woes of life, and to save us and give us hope in eternal life. You know, what a wonderful story it is. You know, there's this is unlike our God, who would have such compassion and such love and cares so very much that he would come to this earth to redeem us. And as I've said so many times, he was a man. He was God in the flesh, but he had all the human characteristics that you and I have, and he knew what pain was, he knew what hunger was, he knew what it was like to be tired, obviously. And there at Gethsemane, oh my, as he prayed and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, praying and saying, Lord, if it be possible, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He prayed that because as a man, he didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't want to take our sins. He didn't want to bear that. He knew what it was going to be like. He could tell it wasn't just the pain that he was going to endure, but it was our sins. He who had no sins, he who came to this world and put himself under his own law and lived in that law and never sinned. I'll tell you what, there he was. He was going to take our sins upon himself and bear them for us so that we might be freed from them, so that we might have hope, so that we might come to Jesus and know him as our Lord and Savior. What a wonderful story. What a wonderful story. He could have called 12 legions of angels. They were there. They would have come at his bid. They would have come. But he knew what he had to do in order to save us from our sins. And I tell you what, that is the greatest story ever told. That's right, the one that loved us so much that he died for us. Praise the Lord. And here we are tonight. Here we are tonight. And praise the Lord. He's given us great hope. We could come to him and know that he can take care of every one of our needs. We know that he can forgive us our sins and give us great hope in everlasting life. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, that we have this privilege again of coming before thee, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Oh, God, that we can kneel, oh, God, and give you our lives, Lord. Oh, God, that we can bow and submit everything to thee, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for so great love, Lord Jesus. The song that you put within our hearts, Lord. The joy that wells up within us because, oh, Lord, it's your joy. Oh, Lord, you've given us salvation. We have great hope, Lord. Oh, God. Not just in this life, but, oh, Lord, in eternal life with thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, in that place, oh, Lord, where all things are made new. We thank you, Jesus, Lord. I pray that you speak to our hearts. Pray that you'd help the people online, Lord. Oh, God, that you direct their paths and meet their needs. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that you'd meet the needs of everyone in this auditorium here tonight, Lord. And, oh, God, that you'd call us, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd get us ready, oh, Lord, for that great and terrible day of the Lord. Oh, God, that you'd speak to our hearts, that still small voice. Oh, God, that we could hear you say, oh, Lord, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest, oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that rest. And I pray, oh God, that you talk to our hearts tonight, Lord. Oh God, that you get us ready. Oh Lord, that you speak to us, Lord, that you bind the strong man in every contrary spirit. Oh Lord, they would try to intervene here. Oh God, I come against it in the name of Jesus and take authority over it. I ask that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, Lord, let your word have recourse. Oh, Lord, let it speak to us, Lord Jesus. We can do nothing without you, Lord God. We give this to you, Lord, and ask, oh, Lord, that you would direct this in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise God. He is so good. He is so good to us. Praise God. Going to be calling this here tonight, ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. And I'm going to go to a few verses in the New Testament, but also some of the Old, because, oh, wow, there's wonderful prophetic utterances that were declared. Oh, wow, before Jesus ever came to this world. And I love how the scriptures together. It's a wonderful thing to see how God brought it all together, and oh, you know, those holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And it's a wonder. It really is. But yet it's been fulfilled, and I thank God. Let's go then right away to Acts 1:8 here. Actually, here in Acts, the first chapter, let's just start with the first verse here. I think we could do that here tonight. Let the Lord guide and lead this study here with his help. It says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up. After that he threw the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Praise the Lord. Here we have the Lord's last words before he ascended into heaven. And oh, what a story it is. You know, he's referring to that former treatise that had been written, and of course, Acts, the former treatise that is mentioned here, is the book of Luke, because Luke also wrote this book of Acts. And he's addressing it to Theophilus. And of course, he says, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, that's what the book of Luke is about. And of course, it covered the time period until Jesus was taken up. And you know, what he had spoken to them, the urging that he had given them, and you know, the words that he had told them to do so, to wait into Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high, as he had instructed them before he ascended. And of course, he made mention of the baptism that John baptized with. John truly baptized with water, and he certainly did. But there was something greater than that, that Jesus was going to pour out. And of course, we know he hadn't been able to pour it out yet, because it was a comforter. And it was not to be poured out until Jesus had ascended into heaven. It could not come to those that were waiting for it until this moment. But it was promised. It was promised, wasn't it? And so it is yet today. It is promised. And here he mentioned verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And so they don't know what to think. You know, it hadn't been explained. They hadn't received it yet. So at this point, they honestly do not know. They just plain do not know. So they're saying, well, at this time, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Speaking of a physical kingdom, well, Jesus didn't come to bring about a physical kingdom. He would have already have done it if that would have been the case. His kingdom was not of this world, was it? He said, if my kingdom was of this world, he told Pilate, then should my men fight? But it was a spiritual kingdom. It was a spiritual kingdom. Oh, yes, and he would come back to us, to his people, to his disciples, to bring them that spiritual rest that they would need, that power that they would need from on high, the promise of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, John the Baptist had talked about it. He had mentioned it, he said, I indeed baptize you with water, but there's one that's greater than I am, whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. But he said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It was greater than the baptism of John the Baptist. And here it is. It's about that time when it's going to be poured out. And I love how it reads here in Acts 1:8. It says, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And then it says, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And of course, after he'd spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And you know, that's what we are waiting now. Oh yes, the promised Holy Ghost is here, and it's for all those that the Lord our God shall call. And we are waiting his second return at this point. And you know, they return unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Oh, praise the Lord. There were about 120 of them. We understand as we continue reading this chapter that we're in that upper room. And they were waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It had never been poured out yet. They didn't know how it would come, what form, shape, manner, how it would feel. They didn't have any of those details at the moment. But they were waiting. They were expecting. They were believing God. They were having faith. And this is, they all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren, his own natural brothers, as well as his mother there in that upper room. We're going to go to some places now in the Old Testament that talk about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and I just find these places really quite special. We all are talking about the day of Pentecost and how God would pour out of his Spirit. Let's go to Micah first. Let's go to the book of Micah. And we'll go to the fourth chapter of Micah. We're going to be looking at the very first verses in this chapter. And they read, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And then it says in verse 3, and he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. Okay, something wonderful is going to happen at Pentecost when the Lord would pour out his Spirit. And as we just read this first chapter of Acts, this is leading to the day of Pentecost when that Holy Ghost, that Spirit of promise, would be poured out. And there's some things to note about this period of time. It was going to usher in a new dispensation, a new period of time. And, you know, before that time, the law had been on table of stones. And, of course, the Hebrew people were commanded to keep those, and they weren't easy. It was difficult. In fact, nobody really kept them until the Lord Jesus came to this earth. But God Almighty had devised something beyond that. He had a plan beyond that, and he was going to take those laws and he was going to put them in the hearts of people. If you want to turn back to one of the major prophets just a little bit, I'll go to Jeremiah for a minute here. And Jeremiah 31, you might want to keep your hand in Micah. I do plan to go back here shortly. But in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, it talks about the new covenant that the Lord is going to bring forth. The Old Testament would include the Old Covenant, but there was something beyond that. Like I said, the Old Covenant wasn't kept. You know, there were attempts made, but, you know, if you would just, you know, miss even a portion of it, it was like you missed the whole thing. And, you know, as human beings, it was beyond what people could do. But God had something beyond that. He was going to perfect it. There was something beyond that that had been in his heart that he was going to do. He was going to put that law in our hearts. And he was going to bring forth a new covenant of blood where it would not take the shedding of bulls and goats, but instead he would come to this earth as a man Christ Jesus, and give his life on that cross so that we could come to him and be participants in his new covenant and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you look at Jeremiah 31, verse 31, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Verse 34 says, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Oh, the beautiful story of the cross and God's great mercy to us. But in the time of the Old Covenant, they had to try to keep the law. And, you know, God would speak to the priests or to the prophets and use them to direct the others. And, of course, there were many false prophets in those days, and, you know, that prophesied falsely and didn't help the people at all. And of course, there were many priests that erred and led the people into sin. And you know, before you knew it, old Israel, for the most part, they were into idolatry, and they were doing the same things that the heathen did, which was despicable and abominable in the sight of God. He wanted these people to be a chosen people, a special treasure, a peculiar people that would show forth his praises and not be as a heathen. But they would keep his laws and have them, you know, do the things that he would ask and require of them. But they didn't do well. They didn't keep it. It was despised. It was rejected. And for the most part, no real attempts were even made to really do well with it. But God had a plan beyond that. He was going to bring forth that new covenant in his blood. And that new covenant would be written on our hearts, the inward parts. And the thing is, he would make us his sons and daughters. He would call us unto salvation. He would call us in such a way that we would realize that we are sinners and that we needed his help, that we would come to him, that we'd give him our hearts, and that we would come to the Lord Jesus. Oh, he was making a way so that we could all know the Lord. We wouldn't have to go to a prophet. We wouldn't have to go to a priest to know the Lord, to ask them what God is saying. But we could all know him because he was going to speak to us as individuals. He was going to put that law deep down inside so we would all know, as it says in Isaiah 30, this is a way, walk ye in it. When you go to the right hand and when you go to the left, he would speak to us. So we would know, so we could be directed, so we could be filled with his spirit. And you know, it wasn't going to be a special class. It wasn't going to be a special gender. It wasn't going to be a special race. It was going to be all that the Lord our God shall call. And from the least of them to the greatest of them, oh my, you know, this, it's not any kind of a power ladder by any means. You know, you don't have to have a certain degree of education or, you know, a certain job or occupation in order to know the Lord. But praise the Lord, he cries out to us from the least unto the greatest of them and saying, know me, as he calls it to our attention, that realization that we can't live without him, that we need Jesus Christ, that we need him in our heart, that we need to be forgiven our sins. And praise the Lord, that's what he does when we come to him. Oh, that wonderful plan of Calvary. Oh, wow, when we could come to the Lord Jesus and repent, turn our life over, and then be baptized in the wonderful waters of baptism for the remission of sins with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. He says, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And you know, the wonderful thing is that baptism is for the remission of sins. Those sins are buried in the depths of the sea. And you know, he doesn't conjure them back up and hang them over our head and say, see what you did back then? Oh, yeah. You know? No, he forgives. He buries them. You know, he forgets them. He forgives. And oh, what a beautiful story. He says, I will remember their sin no more. Oh, praise the Lord for what he has done. Praise the Lord. So it was the last days. And the last days began at Pentecost. At this time period. And what happened at Pentecost is, during that special event, it was one of the Jewish feast days. There were many that came to the mountain of the house of the Lord. It was established on top of Mount Zion, and there it was, and it was exalted above all the hills, and there was, you know, a tug in the heart for many to go there. And we see that is what happened at Pentecost. There were many that were in Jerusalem at that point. People from many places, many nations. There was that tug in their heart that had called them to that place. As it says in Micah, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The Lord was going to do that, and I believe he called each and every one of them that were in that upper room there on the day of Pentecost. I believe he had called them there. And we get to the second chapter of Acts, we realize that, oh, there was a great representation of people there. And, you know, you know, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You know, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. And, you know, here it tells us in that third verse of Micah 4 that, you know, he was going to judge among many people, rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. And nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the church of the living God that would not have those tendencies anymore. You don't see in the book of Acts, in the epistles, that they were fighting wars. You see plenty of that in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, but there's a difference in the New Testament because he put that law in our hearts. And there was a big difference, you know. Now, yes, we fight spiritual warfares, but it's not physical. There's a big difference. You know, I know this is in the United Nations, and this verse, at least a portion of it, and it's so hypocritical because man of his own self does not know the peace of God. They might attempt to find peace, but there's no peace without the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not possible. It's not possible. And, you know, ever since the UN was founded in 1948 or whatever, you know, there's been war after war. It's not a time of peace. Oh, yes, they're still trying. Oh, yes, they've got their decrees and you know, their plans and, you know, how they plan to unite all the nations of this world by 2030. I'll tell you what, I know what they're scheming, and it isn't nice. But the Lord Jesus is the one that gives that peace that passes all understanding. Oh, peace I give unto you, not peace as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. He puts that peace deep down inside of us when he fills us with the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. And we don't have to, we don't fight in the physical sense anymore. We don't learn that kind of warfare at all. But it says, they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. Oh, we know our God. We know that he is with us and he gives us peace in our hearts so that we're not afraid. We're not afraid of what's going on in spite of the darkness of the night and all the terrors around us. Look, we're not afraid because we know that the Lord is with us and we are at peace with him. And it says, none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But our God had many promises. And if you look at Micah, the second chapter, I think there's a very distinct prophecy concerning Pentecost in that 12th verse there. It says in verse 12 of Micah 2, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as a flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. And this is so interesting because I was reading this verse today. You know, I think of the day of Pentecost and there in Acts 2, when he poured out his spirit, that promise, he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait, to tarry until they were endued with power from on high. He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come. He promised power. Dynamos, dynamite, something that would stir the soul, something that would change, something that would make us alive in Jesus Christ. He promised it. And, you know, just comparing this little verse here in Micah 2 to the day of Pentecost, there was a gathering there in the second chapter of Acts. Oh, it tells us that they were all together there on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. They were all gathered together there in one place. And they had one accord. In other words, they were all expecting the same thing. They were all waiting for the promise of the Father. They were all waiting for the Holy Ghost. And they didn't know what to expect. You know, it tells us in the first chapter that, Jesus was alive 40 days after the resurrection. And Pentecost means 50th. It was 50 days after Passover. So I would think from that, if Jesus was crucified at the time of the Passover, he was in the grave 3 days, 3 nights. So I'm thinking, they were probably tarrying for the Holy Ghost for about 7 days. He was alive on the earth and ministering to them for 40 days before he ascended, and then they went directly to the upper room there, actually, in the temple, and that's where the Holy Ghost was outpoured. So I'm thinking it's about 7 days after he ascended, if I've gathered all my facts, as I see them. But anyway, here they are. They were waiting, all with one accord in one place. And it says in verse 2 here of Acts 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. It tells us in verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, yes, he had come. He'd come into their lives. He'd come into their hearts. He so spoke of the Holy Ghost when he was on earth. You know, in John, the 7th chapter, and you might want to keep your finger in Acts 2. I'm coming back. But John 7 says in verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he was speaking of this that should come. He explains in verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. It couldn't come yet. He had to be glorified. He had to be received up into heaven before the Holy Ghost could come. But he promised it. He promised it. You know, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, you know, hard to describe the Holy Ghost. It's hard to describe it because, you know, it's beyond words. But here he's comparing it to rivers of living water. Oh, yes, he spoke to the woman at the well, that Samaritan woman, 4th chapter of John, about those living waters. Oh, that if she would receive of them, she would never thirst again. Yes, he was talking about the Holy Ghost. Yes, he was. It says, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given yet. Because that Jesus was not yet glorified. It was that simple, but he was speaking about it. He was telling them about it, you know. He was urging them on. It was going to happen. And praise the Lord, it happened on the day of Pentecost. Oh yes, there they were. Back in Acts, the 2nd chapter, all together, one place, one accord. Suddenly that sound from heaven, mighty rushing wind. Oh, yes. Filled all the house where they were sitting. And then there appeared unto them those cloven tongues, like as a fire, that sat upon each of them, and they began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, I'll tell you what, that was it. You know, it was fulfilled. And just as it was talks of those many nations that would come together there in Micah, the 4th chapter, we see that there were many, many at Jerusalem at this point. verse 5 here in Acts 2. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. There they were. It had been in their heart. Oh, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, they had come to observe the feast day. They didn't know what was going to happen. But there it was. It says, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. Oh, they were amazed. They were confused. They didn't know what to think because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Oh, they could hear them speaking in those other tongues. They could hear them speaking in their own native tongues as the Spirit of the Lord was speaking through them, the Spirit of the Lord that had come into their lives to change them, to make them whole. Oh my, to give them power to witness, power to live above sin, the ability to know and understand what Jesus had taught when he was yet on earth. And there they were, oh, they were amazed. They could hear them speaking in their own tongue wherein they were born. Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, in all the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. It tells us they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? They didn't know what to think, did they yet? And it says, you know, there's always mockers in the group. You know, there's some that have a sincere heart and you know, are truly drawn by the Lord. And you know, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. It takes that drawing of a Holy Ghost to come to the Lord Jesus. But there were those mockers among them too. And, oh, these men are full of new wine. Oh, they must be crazy. You know, they must have been drinking all night. And this is what, you know, we're hearing now. Because you know what? It was noisy. It's like that little verse in Micah 2:12. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together. The Lord had brought this crowd together as a sheep of Bozra, as a flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of a multitude of men. Oh, yes, there was a great noise. They could all hear them speaking in their own tongues. The wonderful works of God. Oh, yes, it wasn't quiet. Believe me, it wasn't quiet. And here we have Peter standing up. Oh, my, we know how Peter was before this event. You know, he was bold. And he was brave. He wanted to come unto Jesus and walk on the water. And you know, we know that story, how for a while he did. He did walk on the water. Jesus had come. And he walked on water. Except when he looked down and he started to see the waves. All those doubts and all those fears and all of that began to come to his mind. And all at once he was sinking. And yeah, we know how Peter was. Yeah, he had a great deal of courage. He had boldness. And you know, he had declared, you know, when Jesus began to tell them that he was going to die and, he, you know, give his life for them and, he, you know, be crucified and all this and that, you know, Peter would say, Lord, we're dead. You know, he wasn't going to let that happen. You know, he tried to say that he was ready to defend Jesus. That would not be allowed. But Jesus had said to Simon Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, to sift you as wheat. But Jesus said to him, what I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And you know, Peter thought he was fine. You know, he thought, you know, he'd followed Jesus those 3.5 years, and, you know, he thought he was fine. He'd done this and that. He'd been a participant as they went to house to house, or, you know, they had cast out devils. They had, you know, they had delivered those that were sick, and he'd seen all manner of things that sat under the ministry of Jesus Christ for all that period of time. And, you know, he thought he was ready. Thought he, you know, he had all the strength and power he needed. He said, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." But Jesus said to him, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." We know that it happened. Peter didn't have the strength that he needed. He didn't have the strength, and there in Pilate's judgment hall, he denied Jesus 3 times. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do that. When he realized what had happened when that cock crew, and Jesus looked at him, as is recorded in one of the Gospels, he went out bitterly and wept. You know, he didn't like what he had done, you know, betraying, well, denying Jesus at that point. He didn't like that. He had thought he had had great strength and ability to resist all that sort of thing. But he didn't have it at that point. He was not yet converted. He didn't have the power of the Holy Ghost yet. He hadn't been completely changed. Yes, he had walked with Jesus. He had followed him. He had believed him. He had done many wonderful works, but he had not yet the strength and power of the Holy Ghost. But here in Acts, the 2nd chapter, we see a new Peter. We see a new man. Oh, I don't think he ever denied the Lord after he received the Holy Ghost. I believe he was completely, 100% changed. And here it tells us in Acts, the 2nd chapter, verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the 3rd hour of the day." But he said, "Oh, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Joel, the 2nd chapter, and he's going to quote now, verse 17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Oh, praise the Lord. This is that which had happened. This is that which the prophet Joel had spoken of. Joel, the 2nd chapter, verses 28 through 32. He poured out his spirit upon all flesh. And I love it. I love it, you know, God being no respecter of persons. Again, he was pouring it upon all flesh. In other words, all those that he would call. But it would be upon your sons and your daughters. Not one particular gender. You know, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord. That is what had happened on the day of Pentecost. The Lord had poured out of his spirit that which the prophet Joel had declared and proclaimed and prophesied of. It had now happened. That is what they were waiting for in that upper room. They were waiting for Pentecost, for that outpouring of his spirit. Oh, yes. Jesus had said in John, the 14th chapter, if you look at verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Oh, it wasn't going to be just for a moment. Yes, a holy man of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost would come upon them in the days of the old covenant. But he was going to pour out his spirit so that he would be in us continually. They would abide with us forever. It wasn't going to be a temporary thing or a momentary thing. Yes, now I see him and now I don't sort of thing. But he was going to come and be in our hearts, be in our soul, leading us, changing us, talking to us. It says in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. See, there was a difference. Well, those 3.5 years, he was with them. He was with those 12 apostles. But, you know, there was going to be a difference after Pentecost. He had to be glorified. He had to ascend into heaven. But he was going to bring it back. The Spirit that was in Jesus was going to come back to dwell in each and every individual heart of the believers. Oh, he says, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Oh, praise the Lord. He was going to put his Spirit. He gave up that Spirit on the cross. He gave up the ghost. But he gave it up so that we might receive it. It was going to come back. It was going to be received on the day of Pentecost. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. See, he had a plan, you know, this plan that God had foreordained from the foundation of the world. You know, God's plan and purpose. Yes, the old covenant was made to direct their lives and to help these people to do the things that were appropriate and right so that they could be his people. But they didn't do so well with that old covenant. It wasn't enough to change them and to truly lead them. But God had a plan. You know, I'm still keeping my hands in Acts 2, but 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And verse 10 says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ to the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. I know I just read a few portions of prophecy from the Old Testament here tonight. Oh, there's several other places we could go. But those holy men of God, those prophets of old, knew there was something beyond. They knew something, you know. They would prophesy and, you know, and know, you know, that there was going to be an outpouring of God's Spirit. And somehow, you know, he was going to be in us and you know, this and that. You know, he was going to write the law on the inside of our heart and all this and that. They just had, you know, bits and pieces, bits of knowledge there. But they really couldn't completely understand because it was not yet given for their time period, for their dispensation. And, it, you know, they must have come to realize it. You know, it really wasn't for their period of time. That's not who they were really ministering to, but it was going to be for a day beyond them. And praise the Lord, we now live in this dispensation or this period of time called grace. Oh yes, the Holy Ghost has come, and then we don't have to offer the blood of bulls and goats to make atonement for our sin. We don't have to do that. Oh, praise the Lord, because there is one that paid that price. He did it once and is adequate for all our needs, for all our time. Hebrews speaks of it. If I could just go there. If you look at Hebrews 8 and look at verse 7, oh, this whole chapter is wonderful, but for lack of time, of course. Verse 7 says, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. I mean, there, you read the book of Jeremiah and those other prophets, and you realize God did everything he could to try to correct those people. I mean, he put them into their own land, and as harsh as it seems, he told them to eradicate those around them, because he knew that if they mingled with those other heathen people, that they would soon become like those heathen people. And, you know, yes, they did in part destroy many of them, but still there were many left. And sure enough, after a while, they were doing the same things that the heathen did. They, you know, they were making statues and images and bowing down to them and, you know, doing many abominable things. We talked about how they, you know, even had their offered their children unto Moloch, as it mentions there in the 7th chapter of Acts, and other disgusting, horrendous things they were doing because they didn't have the fear of the Lord in their heart. And they were bowing down and kissing the image of Baal. And, you know, we know the confusion in the time of Elijah. They didn't even know who the true God was at that point. Elijah had to bring them back to God. But there was trouble. That first covenant wasn't sufficient. It wasn't in their hearts. It didn't change them. But the Lord had his plan. Oh, yes, he had this plan. He was going to bring forth a new covenant. And it was going to be in the heart. It was going to be deep down inside. So it would change us. So we're not like we used to be. You know, so he gives us a strength beyond our own. He puts his spirit within us so that we don't want to be like the heathen people. We don't want to live in sin. We don't want to live in idolatry. And that's how you can tell when somebody truly repents. Because some, at that point, sin becomes horrendous. You don't want to live in sin. Oh, you want to change. You want to live for God. You want to do the things that please him. Praise the Lord. And that's all the wonderful, glorious value of a new covenant. He was going to put it in our hearts. It says here in Hebrews 8, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, say the Lord. After a while, he couldn't even regard them. He would try to correct them. He would chastise them and send correction, and, you know, it wouldn't even work. After a while, he knew there was nothing else he could do. He allowed those 10 northern tribes to be taken over by the Assyrians. He allowed those 2 southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, to be taken over by the Babylonians. He allowed it because there was nothing else he could do. Oh, what a thing to be disregarded by God. But I'll tell you what, God hates sin. You know, and that's a great hidden thing, it seems, these days. People seem to think that they can live in sin and still make it to heaven. I'll tell you what, that's sin. Has to be given to God. It has to be given over to him. We can't continue in our sin and please God. But praise the Lord, he put the Holy Ghost in our heart. Oh, yes, you know, and it's not an instant perfection. No, we have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he puts it in us so that we begin to know, hey, this is the way, walk in it. When you go to the right hand and when you go to the left, that spirit to lead and to guide you into all truth. So you can know what the book says. And, you know, that conscience, oh dear, I messed it up today. Oh, I messed it up. Oh, Lord, will you please forgive me? You know, will you please take care of this? And, you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's right. That's what the book says in 1 John, the first chapter. And, you know, he also said in 1 John, you know, these things write unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Oh, he was a propitiation. He paid for our sins on that cross so that we could come to him and say, Lord, it's not by my works. It's not by anything I could do, but Lord, I'm coming to you that you might forgive me, that you might take my sins, that they might be remitted, that they might be taken care of, Lord, so I can have a clear conscience and one day stand before you and hear you say, well done. Oh, praise the Lord, he paid that price for us. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, praise the Lord. He's showed so much love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh no, it's by grace we are saved, not by works. You know, we could never merit his favor. We could never do enough good works to make it into heaven. But praise the Lord, we could come to him. We could come to him and, oh, confess our sin on him. Ask him to forgive us and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and let him take care of it. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know that he has commanded us to go down in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins, knowing that we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But praise the Lord here in verse 10 of Hebrews 8. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Again, from Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad he's not a respecter of persons. We don't have to take a certain class in order to obtain salvation. We don't have to pay a certain fee in order to inherit eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord, but we can humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, knowing that he will exalt us in due time, knowing that he will take care of those sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, praise the Lord, yes. He put his spirit within his people. That day of Pentecost, that Holy Ghost came. He was bringing forth the new covenant. Oh, a new covenant, so we could all know the Lord from the least to the greatest. And that was that which had been spoken by the prophet Joel. You know, there was Peter back in Acts, the 2nd chapter, preaching on the day of Pentecost. He wasn't afraid then. He wasn't a coward. He wasn't denying Jesus. Oh my, he was speaking it forth. Oh, in spite of the fact that some of them were mocking and jesting and laughing and thinking it was ridiculous, he was speaking it forth, wasn't he? Oh, yes, he was speaking it forth and declaring this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And oh, he went on, yes, he went forth to speak of some of the things that David had brought forth in the Psalms. And before it was through, he was saying in verse 32, Acts 2, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And it says in verse 33, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Oh, they could hear them speaking in other tongues, declaring the wonderful works of God. It says, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. He was bold, wasn't he? And he was declaring it right in their midst. And you know, the Lord was working in their hearts. The Lord was talking to their hearts. He was tugging away. And even though they were guilty, there was something they could do. It said, now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh,
important question, wasn't it? They knew they had to do something. There had to be a response to that call, that tug at their heart, that conviction that was working within them. And Peter declared it. There he was. He was declaring it. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I praise the Lord. The Lord is calling us. We can give him our hearts. How do we do that? It tells us here to repent. That means to turn away from sin. To do about face. To come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it tells us to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could go down in those waters of baptism. And there's many places in the scripture for the remission of sins. Those sins are remitted in those waters of baptism so that there's no more payment for sin. They are gone. They are banished. And that promise, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, that convicting spirit, that new covenant that he declared, that thing that the angels even desire to look into. Oh, that wonderful spirit of a living God, that ghost that he gave up there on the cross because he was going to pour it out on the day of Pentecost so that we might receive it, so that we might be his sons and daughters, so we might come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean things, and know that he would receive us. Oh, praise the Lord. And then he said there, 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. What a beautiful plan. A plan that he would redeem us from this world. He bought us with that blood that he shed for us. You know, it's a beautiful story. Galatians, the 4th chapter, as I get ready to close. Verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Yes, that's what he did. He came to the earth at the fullness of the time, when it was right, when all things were ready. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's a beautiful story. We are no longer strangers and foreigners, but we are redeemed, and we receive the Spirit of adoption as he has sent forth his Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think it's such a wonderful privilege what God has done for us. And, you know, I was really going to go into, I believe, the 9th chapter of Acts, but obviously I'm not going to have time to do that tonight. The 8th chapter of Acts. But God's plan, God's provision for us, that we might be his sons and daughters. Oh, yes, he allowed this blessing. This is actually the blessing of Abraham, we're told in Galatians, the 3rd chapter. He allowed it that it might come upon the Gentiles. We weren't part of that original plan, that original covenant, if we're Gentile people. But God knew he was going to call forth a people that were not Jewish. And it would be unto the Jews first and also to the Greeks. It would be unto all people. No favoritism,
no special race, no special qualities that were necessary to come to the Lord, only that humble submitting to God, that willingness to repent and give one's life to the Lord. Oh yes, that the blessing of Abraham may come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh yes. Oh, it's not by works that he saved us. You know, it's not by any goodness that we could do of ourselves, but by his mercy toward us, his goodness toward us, his willingness to take on our sins on the cross, that we might be his sons and daughters, that we might be joint heirs with Christ, that we might be able to come to him and submit our lives to him. Praise the Lord, that's the plan of the gospel. And you know, tonight, we can come to him tonight. We can come to him. We can submit our lives to him. We can bow down before him and cry out to him tonight and know that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can do that tonight. And not only that, his other wonderful promises, his promises to deliver us, to save us, to heal us. Oh, yes, to make us his sons and daughters. Oh, the promises of God, they're yea and amen. Oh, they're beyond our comprehension. But we have that privilege tonight. Praise the Lord. It is open. It's open. For whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. Whosoever will, let him come. An open invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ to come to those living waters and drink freely. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Pray that you draw us unto yourself, God. It's not by any goodness that we could do of our own, Lord. We could never merit eternal life on our own, Lord Jesus. But we thank you for your gracious gift that you've given us. I pray that you'd speak to us tonight, Lord. Oh, God, strong men would be bound in every work of darkness, Lord. And you'd help us, Lord, to come unto you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. And I pray that you talk to our hearts and help us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we could come unto him and drink of the waters of life freely. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it's open tonight. I'm not here to help whosoever would like help. I'm here to answer any questions that I possibly can. You know, to do whatever is necessary. Because there's a God in heaven that reaches out with such love and compassion and give that to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Samuel will come. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus.
Well, praise the Lord. We're going to sing a chorus in closing. If you can find your chorus book, we're going to be going to number 4. There is a river.
Filled their hearts with singing and gave.
Dismissed under prayer in Jesus' name.